Good morning, brethren. It's nice to see everybody. I actually had to put that in my notes so I didn't say good afternoon. And Mr. Willoughby, I would vote against morning services personally. I want to thank Mrs. Duncan and my wife, Mrs. Cox, for the beautiful offertory music and the special music. Very meaningful, very moving. Thank you. Well, it's hard to believe the fall holiday season, 2023, is upon us, isn't it? There's one holy day that should fill us with a sense of exhilaration, a sense of anticipation. It is the Feast of Trumpets. In Solomon's porch, Peter tells the gathered crowd in Acts 3, verse 19 through 21, you don't have to turn over there, I'll read it. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before, whom heaven must receive until the times of restoration of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. What exciting, inspiring, and hope-filled events this Feast of Trumpets pictures for us to anticipate, brethren. We can look forward to the return of Jesus Christ, the restoration of the government of God, and an earth released from the oppression and deception of Satan and sin. From other scriptures, we also know that God is eagerly awaiting for that day as well, our resurrection and our inheritance of the kingdom. I want to thank Mr. Bryant. I think our messages will go very well together, and thankfully none of our scriptures overlap. So, are we listening to what God has to say about this day, brethren? Are we studying about it, as mentioned in the first message? Are we excited about it? Are we looking forward to it? Are we joyful today? This day is a memorial of blowing of trumpets, as God commanded in Leviticus 23, a holy convocation. Most of us have heard messages in the past about all the reasons trumpets were blown. I'm not going to cover that. But it's an important thing that God wanted us to celebrate and remember. I imagine at the time, in ancient Israel, it might have been a bit confusing to have a holy day set aside by God to commemorate the blowing of trumpets. For them, anyway. Why? Well, they didn't have the full picture yet. To them, trumpet blowing was probably a bit mundane. They heard it a lot. Being called to gather, to go to war as a warning, etc. But for us today, the Feast of Trumpets is a central, pivotal holy day. It is the transitional event of what the holy days picture as a whole, God's plan of salvation for all of mankind. Trumpet sits between what has already been fulfilled and what has yet to be fulfilled. It represents the moment God decides to directly intervene in the world events in a very visible and very powerful way. It is essentially God rescuing man from his own attempts to rule himself and decide right and wrong for himself. And look where that's gotten us. This day celebrates one of the most important events in the history of this creation to that time when it is fulfilled. Surely when we compare the prophecies about this day with what is happening in the world, we should be hoping and praying that its fulfillment cannot be far off. But always remember, it will be in God's time, not our time. Even though we might like it to come even quicker than God has planned, we have to remember it's his timing. Yet, with as bad as things are in the world today, we are also told it is going to get worse, much worse. And God shows in his word, as we get closer and closer to the fulfillment of what this day pictures, some in his church will become weary. Some will grow impatient and lax, as was mentioned in the first message, and some will become entangled in the cares of this world. We have to be vigilant and careful that that doesn't happen to us, brethren. Let's turn back to a scripture in Isaiah. Wow, look at that, opened right to it. Isaiah chapter 40, well, a couple chapters off. Isaiah 40, we'll be starting in verse 27. Read some encouraging words here. Isaiah 40, starting in 27. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my just claim is passed over by my God? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young man shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. That is a promise he makes to us. Even though things will get much worse before those trumpets start to blow, there are promises like this all through the scriptures. Those promises should always be in the forefront of our minds to encourage us, to strengthen us, to give us that hope. But we have to remember to go to God in those difficult times. We need to be maintaining a close relationship with him and maintaining our faith in him. We need to constantly be praying, "Thy kingdom come," and we need to mean it. If you think about that, praying, "Thy kingdom come," as we were instructed to do by Christ himself when he was teaching the disciples to pray, we're telling God that we understand what that means, that we understand what mankind has to go through in order for that to happen. That this day we are celebrating today is a reminder of that. And it also tells him that we trust him and we have faith in him that he will protect his own, his little flock. He will guide them, he will encourage them, he will strengthen them, and he will uplift them through it all. God's purpose and his plan will move forward regardless of our attitude or mindset. We can't let ourselves become lax or tired. Rather than giving in to our weak human nature and becoming afraid and depressed about everything that's going on, this day should encourage us, re-energize us, and refocus us. We can at times let this world's tragic events get us down or just make us become tired. We can't let that happen. At other times, our own personal and family problems can depress us. And we might cry out to God, "How long, O Lord?" Have you ever stopped to consider, what about God's waiting and longing for the fulfillment of this day? By comparison, we've only been waiting, how old are you? When were you called? Just a few years. We impatient humans often think that God isn't watching, that he doesn't care. But as we read back in Acts 3:21, he has been waiting since the world began, much, much longer than we have. Let's flip over a couple of pages and read another scripture in Isaiah 42. Isaiah 42, we'll be starting in verse 13. This is a definite end time application to this scripture. The Lord shall go forth like a mighty man. He shall stir up his zeal like a man of war. He shall cry out, yes, shout aloud. He shall prevail against his enemies. I have held my peace a long time. I have been still and restrained myself. Now I will cry like a woman in labor. I will pant and gasp at once. I will lay waste the mountains and hills and dry up all their vegetation. I will make the rivers coastlands and I will dry up the pools. I will bring the blind by a way they did not know. I will lead them in paths they have not known. I will make darkness light before them and crooked places straight. These things I will do for them. I will not forsake them. God's feelings about the fulfillment of trumpets, brethren, is not hidden. He speaks of it often in very emotional terms. As we just read, Do our feelings imitate his? Are we sighing and crying and praying for the fulfillment of this day as fervently as we can? Are we enthusiastic about this day to be being fulfilled? Are we as enthusiastic as God? Obviously, we could never match his anticipation of this day being fulfilled, but we should still have that same enthusiasm and be encouraged by what God says about this, what the fall holy days picture. We shouldn't be despondent or depressed about what's going on in the world around us. Sometimes I get caught up in what's going on in the world around us, and it's hard not to become depressed and to know that it's getting worse. But these are the lessons that the world has to go through. This is something I think about actually quite a lot recently. Am I enthusiastic about the events that this day pictures unfolding? Or am I a little hesitant, maybe anxious? In reading and studying about the Feast of Trumpets, it can generate some feelings of unease. Let's face it, anyone with any amount of compassion is not very excited about those first six trumpets starting to blow, are they? If you are, that's not a good thing. You can read them later in detail in Revelations 8 and 9, but I'm going to summarize them real quick here in a moment. I think it's interesting to note in Revelation 8, verse 1, it mentions the opening of the seventh seal, which is opened right before the trumpets start sounding. It mentions there that there is silence in heaven for about a half an hour. It's just intriguing to me. What is this a silence for? Is it a sense of anticipation for what's about to play out? Or maybe it's a sense of dread for what's about to happen on the earth. It's really, I personally think it's a little bit of both. But in any case, let's summarize those first six trumpets for you. Trumpet one, a third of all vegetation is destroyed by hail and fire mingled with blood. Two, a third of the sea is turned to blood when something like a burning mountain is thrown into it, resulting in a third of sea life dying, along with a third of all the ships that crisscross the oceans being destroyed. Number three, a third of all the fresh water basically becomes poison, and it kills anybody who drinks it. Trumpet four, of all the lights in the day and night sky, one third of them are struck and darkened. That one will be quite interesting. People might start to take notice there. Trumpet five, a plague of locusts is released on the earth to torment man for 5 months, whose bite feels like a scorpion sting. Thankfully, this is one that does not affect those that are under God's protection. This one won't affect us. But it will be so bad that the people who are bitten or stung want to die. But that won't be an option. Death will flee from them. Trumpet 6. Four mighty angels are released, and they kill one third of all of mankind. The most amazing part of that summary to me is even after all of that, mankind doesn't repent. Back in Revelation 9, verse 20, it says, but the rest of mankind, who were not killed by these plagues, did not repent of the works of their hands, that they should not worship demons and idols of gold, silver, brass, stone, and wood, which can neither see nor hear nor walk. And they did not repent of their murders, or their sorceries, or their sexual immorality, or their thefts. Satan has so blinded this world and everyone in it that they can't recognize that they are sinning and need to repent. I think that's probably because Satan has been and continues to be extremely successful at removing God from every aspect of day-to-day life and society around us. But don't worry, Satan will be dealt with soon enough, but that's a topic for another day. This is one of the big reasons we have to work hard to maintain a close relationship with God and Jesus Christ. There's no way we could combat Satan on our own. We have to have a tight, close relationship with our Father. So, after all that God has prophesied to take place, it can be challenging not to let a little worry and angst creep into our lives. Think about it, right here and now. If these events started to be fulfilled tomorrow, what would be our reaction? Ask yourself that question. Would I be excited and joyful? Or when 1/3 of all vegetation is burned up and destroyed, or 1/3 of all of mankind is killed, will doubt and worry start to creep in? Some very interesting things to think about. But our ultimate goal, our ultimate sights, need to be set on what happens beyond those first 6 trumpets. Let's turn over and read a very familiar scripture in Hebrews. Hebrews 11, of course. It's a very familiar chapter when it comes to faith, as it not only defines for us what it is in verse 1, it goes on to give us several examples of those who exemplified the type of faith God is looking for. Verse 3, Hebrews 11, verse 3, it says, "By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible." By faith, we understand that the very creation, everything around us, points to a creator, and that creator does exist. And if he does exist, he has a reason for creating us. And we've been blessed with that understanding, brethren. God's calling opened our hearts and minds to be able to understand that. But let's look specifically about what it says of these, says about these examples down in verse 13. "These all died in the faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth." Some of those mentioned in the rest of Hebrews 11 actually went on to suffer horrible deaths, yet they are still mentioned as among the faithful. Breaking into the middle of verse 35 now, "Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trial of mockings and scourgings, yes, and of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains, in dens and caves of the earth." Some of us sitting here might go through very similar circumstances in this physical life as the end time draws ever nearer. But we've been blessed to know about that 7th trumpet and the promise that it holds. Not just for those that God has called out now, sitting here with each and every one of us, but ultimately what it means for all of mankind. Let's turn back to Revelation chapter 11. Revelation chapter 11. Hold your place in Hebrews. We'll be coming back in a moment. Revelation 11. We're going to read about that 7th trumpet, starting verse 15. "Then the 7th angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, 'The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever.' Finally, the governments of this earth are going to be put down. The corruption is going to end. The violence is going to end." Verse 16, "And the 24 elders who sat before God on their thrones fell on their faces and worshiped God, saying, 'We give you thanks, O Lord God Almighty, the one who is and who was and who is to come, because you have taken your great power and reigned. The nations were angry, and your wrath has come, and the time of the dead that they should be judged, and that you should reward your servants, the prophets and the saints, and those who fear your name, small and great, and should destroy those who destroy the earth.' Then the temple of God was opened in heaven, and the ark of his covenant was seen in his temple. And there were lightnings, noises, thunderings, and an earthquake, and great hail." Brethren, this is This day is a day to rejoice and praise God, to be reminded of what's ahead, and to keep that vision forefront in our minds. God is excited about it, He's looking forward to it, and we should be too. Hebrews 11 is full of examples of the type of mindsets we need to have. Again, in verse 13 it says, "These all died in the faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off and were assured of them, embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth." Can we see them afar off? Do we remember them when times get difficult? Continuing on now in verse 14, "For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared a city for them." As we start to wrap up, let's remember what we just read back in Revelation 11 and verse 15. That seventh trumpet gives us great hope. Verse 15 again. "Then the seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven, saying, 'The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever.'" That day, brethren, when that seventh trumpet sounds, is the day we are waiting for. It is the day we celebrate here today. That last trumpet, in a very familiar section of Scripture, so we won't turn over there, but 1 Corinthians 15, starting in verse 51. "Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." Again, that last trumpet, when it sounds, our race will be won. And not only for us, but for all of mankind. They just don't know it yet. Yes, there are still some very unpleasant things that will take place on this earth after that last trumpet, before God's kingdom is fully established and His throne descends from heaven to deal with men. But this day for us should be very, very encouraging. It should energize us. It should refocus us, as I mentioned before. As we conclude, let's turn back to one more verse in Revelation chapter 20. Revelation 20, this is very encouraging. We'll start in verse 6, just reading verse 6 actually. "Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such, the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. No matter what is thrown at us and what we need to endure, brethren, let's keep our eye on the prize and our ears open to the blowing of those trumpets, especially the day that last trumpet is blown. Let's be fervently praying for that day to come quickly and develop that mindset similar to those that we read about in Hebrews 11. Let's keep building one another up, encouraging one another, and comforting one another, and helping each other all the more as we see the day approaching.